So please connect to us and have fellowship with us this evening. Ask the pastor questions concerning your spiritual life, Bible questions, doctrinal questions, anything you need to know about the Word of God or about salvation. Ask the pastor. So please ask the pastor. And the pastor remains the overseer of the Bride Assembly Lagos Church, our wonderful, loving, and humble pastor, Brother Moses Alu. Shalom, sir.
Shalom, Brother Lumide. And shalom to the Bride TV crew. Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. And shalom to all our viewers, especially you that may be coming our way for the first time. We welcome you to to our weekly Bible study we call Ask the Pastor. I'm a teacher of God's Word, so naturally, every teacher gives room for questions. We say so many things that we don't want to leave the people comfy. We want to make sure you understand us. And why ask the pastor? There is a Hausa adage that says, what it's actually saying is, the traveler that asks questions will not miss his way.
Mm. Amen.
We are on a journey from earth to glory. So
that's right.
If you ask questions, because you are going to a destination that you have not gone before, and you want to make sure you reach your destination, so we should ask questions. And this is not to say we know everything, but the much we know, we will answer. And please feel free to correct us or add more light if you think there's further light to what we are saying. Feel free. It's an interactive session, and we pray that the spirit of illumination will come.
Amen.
Knowledge and understanding will come.
Amen.
Wisdom of presentation will come.
Amen.
And every one of us will be happy that we utilize this time gainfully.
Amen.
We pray that our spiritual life, something will add value to it today.
Amen.
We pray that we shall all be blessed.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So welcome.
Thank you so much, sir. Can we have our first question for tonight? Good evening, sir. I need more explanation on the book of Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 to 9. Are the beast and 24 elders living with God already, or is it a prophecy yet to be fulfilled? Sister Oluchi from Zaria, Nigeria.
The beast and the 24 elders are spiritual representation.
Mm.
They are the spiritual representation of what God is doing on earth here as pertaining to salvation.
Amen.
So they are spiritual representation before the throne of God.
Mm.
It's just a picture of what God is using for the purpose of salvation.
So, sir, that means even in the eternal ages, if we get to heaven, we should not be expecting ourselves to find a throne with beasts.
No. You see, there is an assignment that is going on now. There's a project,
an agenda
that God is fulfilling now.
Amen.
And it is for the purpose of salvation.
Hallelujah.
And in accomplishing this agenda, certain things are used, including the 24 elders and the four beasts that we see before the throne. And there are other, things too that God is using. These all are part of, is a picture of what God will be using to accomplish this agenda. Now, when the agenda is over, they are no more needed. So why will they be there? Doing what? They are there for a purpose. And when the purpose is fulfilled, it is over.
Mm.
Yes.
So the picture we see in the book of Revelations is just about the agenda.
The agenda is simple, and what anointing he will use. Don't expect to go to heaven and see seven spirits. Don't expect to go and see seven spirits of God there. He's not talking about the four move of God's spirit. I mean, seven moves of God's spirit We have to take note of that.
Oh, thank you so much, sir.
Yes.
Okay, more questions coming in. Good evening, sir. Please, I want to know Genesis chapter 1 and 2 talks about the creation of man. Were there men in the earth before? Where did Cain get his wife? Thanks. Igbinosa from Italy.
What? It talks about the creation of man.
Were there men on earth before? The question is, where did Cain get his wife from?
Okay, that's the main question.
That's the question.
Adam had sons and daughters. Adam had sons and daughters. And if we believe the account of the Bible, the first human beings on earth were Adam and his wife. After that, their offsprings.
That's right.
So it's only normal. Remember that they were living hundreds of years old, and within that period, children were being born. So certainly, Cain picked his wife from
the daughters of Adam.
Yeah, from the daughters of Adam. Certainly.
Okay.
Certainly.
Thank you, sir.
Because the Bible says he had sons and daughters.
Thank you, sir. More questions coming in. Sister Oluchi from Lagos State, Nigeria. God bless you, ma. Our first caller for tonight.
Hello, good evening, sir.
God bless you, Sister Oluchi.
Daddy, please, I want to ask you about 1 Corinthians 11, verse 14. It says, do not even know if a man has no hair, it is a shame unto him. Then the last verse, you see, it says, if we see if a woman has a long hair, they are giving to him the problem. That is, see that if a woman has a long hair,
Now, Sister Lucci, you to get the context very well, you have to go back and read verse 4 and verse 5.
Every man praying or prophesying.
The emphasis is what?
Praying or prophesying.
Again.
Every man praying or prophesying.
Not in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Where you are cooking, not in your office. Every man praying or prophesying,
having his head covered,
and his head is covered,
dishonoreth his head.
So the emphasis for the man is, don't cover your head when praying or prophesying. Prophesying here is teaching. When you are teaching, when you are ministering in the church, not thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. Not that one. So any man that is praying or prophesying with the head covered dishonors his head. The next verse.
But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she was shaven.
So it is a shame for a woman now to shave her head now. You can see men can do gorimakwa, but when a woman does like this, gorimakwa like my own, it's very funny. It look like a monkey. It look like chimpanzee. So that's what he's saying here. And this is the only scripture in the whole Bible that we see an ordinance given. That is obeyed till now by every man, Christian man. There is no man have I seen going for worship. Even in their room, when they want to pray, they remove their cap.
That's right.
The only ones we see with their cap on are archbishops, the Catholic, Catholic religion. But I'm talking about Christianity.
Hallelujah.
Not the Catholic religion. I'm talking about the Christian religion.
Amen.
Every Christian praying remove their cap. Every man. And the same way also, every woman. It's talking about when we come together in worship. The woman cover your head. It's an ordinance. And the man don't cover your head. And he gave the reason. Now in verse 14. Now he just said, does not even, it starts by 13, from verse 13.
Judge in yourselves.
Yes.
Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him.
Mm-hmm.
But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering.
Yes.
But if any man seem to be contentious.
Now, if any man seem to be contentious.
We have no such custom.
So,
neither the churches of God.
So, all the churches of God, they obey this.
Mm.
Now, there's something here. Does this verse 15 has created a lot of problem of understanding?
That's true.
Where he said, for her hair is given her
for a covering.
Covering. Now, but when you read the Bible, read it in her context.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a woman already has naturally has long hair, why will Apostle Paul be saying again when praying or prophesying?
Mm-hmm.
Is he now saying that a woman should grow long hair when praying or prophesying? Because mm-hmm. the emphasis is what you should do or what you should not do when praying or prophesying. So he's talking about veil. The woman is to veil her head. So whether it is scarf, it's another thing entirely. But veil your hair. While the man don't veil your hair, and he gave the reason for it.
Mm.
And they'll just say even naturally, a woman has longer hair than the man because it is a natural covering.
Mm.
If it is already a natural covering, then it's now talking. Telling you
when
now when praying or prophesying, there's also a spiritual dimension to that.
Yes.
And he said, because of the angels.
Yes, verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head.
Yes,
because of the angels. The
angels. Mm. So you have to catch that. And we have a lot of problem with inter-message believers and some of these Pentecostal churches. For the Pentecostal churches, you know, their own is the interpretation of that the hair is given for a covering, verse 15. Therefore, you know, don't bother. In fact, they leave it like that. And for the end time message, of course, William Branham's church did not cover.
Therefore,
you know, because Branham Tabernacle has become maybe some of them their standard,
mm-hmm.
and William Branham did not enforce that. So why are you doing that? And I always say something here that I want us to understand something, that from the book of Acts to the book of Jude, there are already mysteries, revelations explained.
Mm.
Why will you need somebody to explain to you again what is explained?
Mm.
So, why are you looking for a prophet of God to come and tell you, you know, what this means and things like that? The only other mystery where we know that between the Acts of Apostle and Jude, the only other scripture that I see that you say you need explanation is 1 Thessalonians 4:16.
That's right.
Apart from that, I don't know if there's any other thing that needs explanation anywhere.
Mm.
You know, I don't know, because everyone, all parables were explained.
Mm.
You see, all the parables were explained. And there's no parable again from Acts of Apostles till we reach the book of Jude. No parable.
Mm.
So why are you looking for a prophet to place it for you? I don't understand. You know, it's already there, and it is an ordinance. In verse 2, take note from verse 1. Read verse 1 first.
Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ.
So follow him. Now verse 2, my emphasis.
Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you.
So it is ordinance. He has been giving them ordinances. Mm-hmm. How you should comport yourself when you come before the Lord in public worship.
Mm.
One of the ordinances he gave us is this: when we come together, how we should dress with our hair and cover and don't cover, men and women. That's one of the ordinances. The next ordinal, rather, it is actually church order.
That's right.
It is church order. And that is when you come together, how you should comport yourself. Second one, because I mentioned ordinances, the second ordinance that I see from here that he gave us is the communion. When we come together, how we should take the communion. And by the time you come to chapter 12, he then teaches us, when we come together, how we should operate the gifts. And chapter 12. And chapter 14, the gift of tongues properly explained. That's where we notice that everybody in the church cannot speak in tongues. And how we should even operate that gift within the church. They are all ordinances. How we comport ourselves when we come together as a church. It just needs obedience, not explanation, not interpretation.
Wow.
Obey, that's all. God bless you.
Thank you so much, sir. Obedience. Can we have more questions?
Yes.
Shalom, sir. I'm Sister Josie from Zaria. According to Romans chapter 2, verse 12, please explain, are there people who died without the law?
Let's read it for the purpose of emphasis. 2:12.
Romans chapter 2, verse 12. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law.
Was there law in the time of Abraham?
No, sir.
No. Until Moses came, there was no law.
Amen.
So, that is what it's explaining. But God will still judge them.
That's right.
This time, not with the law. So, what will he judge them with? The conscience. God Amen. Gave us conscience.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. More questions? Shalom to the bride. My name is Victoria Ime. I'm from Akwa Ibom State. I'm a chosen by love pastor Moses Alu's teaching. Please, my pastor, I want to know if putting cap as a lady to church is a sin. And if you don't go to weekly activities, will it make you to miss heaven?
Is our church... Again.
Three questions. If putting on cap as a lady to church is a sin, if you don't go to the weekly activities, will it make you miss heaven? And then is their church baptism the right way? Answer, is your church in Akwa Ibom State? Four questions, actually.
Okay, can you remember? I hope you remember the
yes,
questions.
Sir. Let's take putting them. On cap.
First and foremost, you say you are a choosing. I am choosing also. Because many are called, few are choosing. So I am also choosing. But not a member of choosing denominational church. I'm a member of the elect body of
Hallelujah.
Christ.
Amen.
Filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
My name written in the book of life for the Amen. Foundation of the world.
Amen.
How do I know? The Spirit of God bearing witness with my spirit who I am. what's the first question?
That's putting on cap as a lady to church.
Now, I am not preaching a doctrine that teaches you how to dress. What the Bible tells us is about moderation in whatever we do. And if you're going to put on a cap, what is the motive for it? We have dressing that portray godliness. And we know that certain dresses... Now, the Apostle Paul said, all things are lawful,
but all things are not expedient.
What he's saying there is that legally we are free, but within that freedom, we still have the boundary of portraying godliness that still makes us stand out, different from the world. Now, we know generally what the dressing of a woman is, and that we know that wearing of cap is essentially for men. Generally in the world of fashion dressing, you know, or it's for sports, you know, you wear it, a cap, because it breaks the sun. From coming, but mainly men wear it. So when a woman now takes a cap and puts on, he's trying to dress like the men dress, because that is the dress that's associated with men. Now, before God, you have not sinned. That is why I say all things are lawful. But we have a duty never to look at the world. Therefore, we dress, portray godliness. We know the people that put this cap are all these musicians. The people that put this cap are all these, some even turn it upside down, knock it for back. They are rebellious people. So why will a Christian do that? So let's balance it that way. And if you take that cap and cover, does it really give you proper cover in your head? So I think that's my answer for that, you know.
Okay.
That don't put that as a Christian woman. Don't put that.
Okay. Second question, missing weekly activities in the church. Can you miss heaven because
of that? No, those activities are not set from heaven now. Those activities are not set from heaven now. The activities of the church. Now, it depends on what activity it is, you know. And I know that among the activities, generally, because we too were a church, you know, the weekly activities are activities of various groups you belong that requires you all coming together for whatever purpose that group is formed for. Then we have the Bible study, which every church organizes, what you call midweek service.
That's right.
Then you have prayer programs, generally prayer programs. Mm-hmm. No, you have not sinned, but you will lose the benefit of participating. That's all.
Okay.
You will not, it is not sin at all that you didn't come to church. It's not sin. Although the Bible, Apostle Paul, you know, advises us not to forsake the gathering together of the saints. Mm-hmm. Now, why he says so is because there are benefits attached to it when you come together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't come, you lose the benefit. Mm-hmm. You lose the benefit. It has nothing to do with the eternal destination, but you lose the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Third question, is their own church baptism the correct one?
Now, not to be too specific, because I'm getting a little bit more matured now. A lot of churches think I'm being confrontational when I mention their names. So, but you have heard my own teaching. So compare with the teaching of your church. It may not just be choosing. It may be Anglican, maybe Catholic, it may be any other church at a deeper life. Any church, in response to Matthew 28 verse 19, where the Lord says we should go and preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Lord,
in the name of the Father,
in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And based on that, takes you to the water and puts you there repeating in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, is a wrong baptism.
Amen.
Very, very wrong. In fact, you have only entered to swim.
Mm.
Has no bearing with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that the ordinance is meant to connect us to.
Mm.
Therefore, your sins remain with you. They are not remitted.
Mm.
And it's very easy for people who actually study and they are sincere. Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Those he spoke to, the apostles, after that day, you never see Father, Son, Holy Ghost again. You only see in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Or in the name of the Lord. Simple. It means the name of the Lord Jesus is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And we see it proven in all the scriptures.
Amen.
So, check whether choosing baptizes Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or they baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If choosing baptizes Father, Son, Holy Ghost, put inside water, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, instead of in the name of the Lord Jesus, which is the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, then they are wrong. Go and rebaptize.
Amen.
But if they baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus, they are correct. Don't go and rebaptize. Now, you answer yourself. Is choosing baptizing correctly? God bless you.
Then the last question, is there any branch of our church in Akwa Ibom?
No. Now, one of the errors of denominationalism is the opening of branches. There is no such pattern in the Bible.
Mm.
Where you have a headquarters in Ijesha, Lagos, and then you are opening branches, appointing and disappointing, posting and promoting, and then organizing yourselves, federal government, state government, provincial government, local government, and the world, like it's done in politics. No such pattern. But we have sister churches.
Amen.
We don't have branches where they gather tithe and offering and send it to us here. We even give them targets of money they are to remit to the headquarters and all that. It's one of the things that the end time message has brought to correct. It's wrong. But we have sister churches where you can send, if you go to anywhere you evangelize and people believe, then they need to be washed over. And then you send a Timothy there. You send a Titus there. Apostle Paul will do that. And he goes there and watches over them. And you too watch over them from wherever your church is, to establish them, because they believe what you believe. They are your converts. They must come together. So because of that, we are restored ministry. And we are when you send them there, you have to support them. They are not to support you. You are the one to support them. When we have sent ministers out in churches, at least we remember a few of them in Owerri,
Ikorodu,
Oka, and Abia, Kwanga.
Kwanga, the five.
Yes, and there are other pastors we have ordained also, you know, so many places around the world, some countries, some outside Nigeria, even in Europe and other places. And they must not answer Bride Assembly Church.
That's right.
If they like the answer Bride Assembly Church, they will have their reason for doing that. But you don't have to answer Bride Assembly Church. You're a sovereign church of your own, but we oversee you to make sure we guide you.
Mm.
So, but with in Akwa Ibom, I don't remember any.
No, sir.
I don't remember any. Please, if you are watching us from Akwa Ibom and you are a sister church to us, we may not know you. I don't know where he is. We know we used to have one of our ministers, brothers, there, who is there. Please give us a call and then let's have you, so that when next we can, you know, broadcast it for the people around there to know you are there. But we have churches almost in all cities.
That's right.
Who believe us. But please let us know that you believe what we are preaching. And remember that if you just want to use us to get members, our members, they are not follow. They have Bright TV to use to rate you, whether you are a man must work a ministry taking advantage of our followers and then gathering them. They will trouble you. Because our people, we know they play with our eternal destination.
That's right.
Of my converts,
they
are very sharp people. Once they discover you are the same thing where they run away from, they will leave you and come back and stay with television.
True.
But if you know you catch it, and I know many of you out there, you catch it.
Mm.
Let us know. We'll direct people to you.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you so much, sir. Wow. So let us know wherever you are and we'll direct people to you. Okay, can we have more questions? Brother Michael from Lagos State is calling us. God bless you, sir.
I said, if I go to Paul,
okay,
and the law, a bad job to say, I said, if you go to Paul, and
in the courtroom.
If you go to a courtroom
and the Bible is given to you to swear.
And the Bible is given to you to swear.
Yes, sir.
Is it proper?
No, is it proper? No, nobody forces you to swear by anything. You can affirm.
Okay, sir.
No, the law does not make it compulsory to swear with any book. Because you can say no, you don't believe in that.
Hmm.
But you affirm. You raise up your hand and then you affirm.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I want to know, can a Christian go to gym to
muscles? Can a Christian go to gym to work out?
Oh,
build muscles.
To work out your muscles.
Mm.
Yes, sir.
It's for health now, but if you just want to, there must be a purpose for it.
Okay.
Nothing is wrong with physical exercise.
Okay, sir. Yes. Tell me, sir. There's this
It's a musical tone. It's a break, musical break. Remember that most of them are songs.
Okay.
So it's a break.
Okay.
A musical note for a break.
Okay. Yeah, what do I say?
Can you come again?
Like, if I get
across the cellar,
what do I do?
No, just ignore it, continue, since you're not singing. You're not singing with instruments.
Okay, sir, and imagine chapter 4, verse 13, and Revelation chapter 21, verse 19, between these two verses.
The first one is what?
Matthew
chapter 5, verse
19.
5, verse 19.
And Revelation 21, verse 19.
Revelation 21.
Verse 19 of verses.
What does it say? Let's
Do you mean Revelation 22:19?
Yes.
Matthew 5:19 says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Revelation 22:19 says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city.
So what's your question?
He wants to know Mike, are you there?
Whether they mean the same thing. They're making two different references. The one is, you see, Revelation 22 is concerning the book of Revelation.
Mm.
What has been given in that book, in that revelation that was given to John. Don't surprise. Leave it as it is like that.
Of this prophecy.
And then the one here, where he says,
whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments.
Yes.
And shall teach men so.
And remember that he gave those commandments from verse 3.
Mm.
They called it the Beatitudes. Mm. And so he was talking about the importance of all these commandments.
Mm.
You know, so we should keep them. And not just that, but all commandments of the Lord. We are to keep God's commandment.
Amen.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Okay. More questions coming in. Brother Okechukwu from Lagos State, Nigeria. Yes. God bless you, sir.
Yes, Okechukwu from Lagos. Pastor, Shalom, good evening, sir.
God bless you.
Yeah, Pastor, please, from Bible, I want to know how this Bible comes to existence.
How it came to existence?
Second Peter
2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21, from verse 19 to verse 21.
Okay. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
And 2 Timothy chapter 3.
2 Timothy chapter 3.
Verse 16.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction,
so
for instruction in righteousness.
All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That is how it's eventually God led men to compile this together. And then you need to go back to the history books, and then you see the very interesting history of how these manuals were, scripts were brought together, and they formed this book, guided again by God in very interesting manner, as the history lets us know.
Romans 3:2 also says,
yes,
much everywhere. Let me start from verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much everywhere, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
God bless you. I hope that answers it.
More questions. Shalom, Bride of Christ. There was a man of God that was preaching. He was saying that praying with salt is for occultic people. I want to know if it's good, sir, because I've been using salt to pray. Grace from UK.
Grace from UK. There is nothing in the scripture that says when you want to pray, use this or use that, or use salt or use oil or use sand or use cloth or use handkerchief. No such commandment. We are only to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, but the Spirit of God can lead you, and faith can make you do some prophetic actions, provided you are led of God to do it. And but it is not a doctrine, because while you use that, another person may just pray whatever prayer you pray, just talking to God, and something, the same result can come out. The important is the result. But yes, occultic people always use one item or the other. But let me just quickly tell you, occultic people, what they do is nothing but impersonation of the real thing. You see, the only thing is that the spirit behind that is wrong. The spirit behind it is wrong. That's why God condemns it. But after all, they prophesy. They see vision. Mami Ota sees vision. But the spirit behind it is not the spirit of God. That's why God hates it. Because, and they may even be doing it in the name of Jesus. The Apostle Paul tells us there's another Jesus. It's not the real Jesus. And so we should have discernment to know what is of God and what is not of God. We must not be legalistic, because the way of the Spirit, no one knows. The Spirit of God can lead you. You know, I think it's John chapter 3. I think it's John. There's a way. There's a way that John, you know, put it in chapter, I mean, the Lord Jesus himself put it in chapter 3.
Verse 8.
Yes, verse 8.
The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
It can move you anyhow to do anything, to do anyone. But make sure you have the Holy Ghost, and it's the one leading you, and it's not follow. And then you get the result. So it's not occultic to use salt to pray. It's not occultic. God bless you.
Okay.
Once you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, you feel led by the Holy Ghost to do it. It's not occultic.
Amen. More questions? Good evening, Pastor Moses and my Isaka brother Olumide. I'm Sister Victoria from Malabo, Equatorial Guinea. Please, sir, can you please explain Isaiah 58 verse 6? Because this is the scripture God gave to me last month when I was on fasting. But I couldn't finish the fasting because I was seriously sick after 3 weeks of my fasting. But I prayed on water and I drank it. After drinking that water, I vomited something that I don't understand. Before now, I was having a big tummy, but after vomiting, my tummy is now flat. So, sir, that's why I want to know the meaning of that scripture that was given to me during fasting.
Isaiah.
Can we have the scripture again? Isaiah
6. It's not this the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Mm. Now, in the context that is written here, because sometimes when God wants to talk to us on a particular issue, he could just take a verse. It may not, it has to be out of the context of its being written, and you have to apply it to the situation you were in and personalize it. What God was actually telling you is that fasting you did, he has honored it.
Mm.
What God was telling you is that he's going to loose the band of wickedness on you.
Mm.
He's going to undo the heavy burdens that was on you. And he's going to set you free from that oppression. And that every yoke will be broken.
Man.
And as soon as he gave you that, did he not free you? You vomited it out. You became free. So God was using it to assure you of your deliverance in line with the fasting you were fasting. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much, sir. Okay. Shalom, Brother Moses and Brother Lumide. I always appreciate the grace of God in your life. Should a priest pay first fruit to another higher priest? Also, should we pay tithe of first fruit? Shalom, sir. Brother Dejari from Abuja.
No, there's no higher priest. There was no higher priest other than the high priest.
That's right.
In the temple, if that is who you refer to. But that was in the Old Testament. Now, there is no higher. Five-fold ministry is five-fold ministry. So, if you are going to liken the pastor to the priest, then you should also, where do you place the other five-fold ministry? Where do you place the prophet? Where do you place the evangelist, teacher, and the pastor? I mean, they are all in the ministry of perfecting the saints, edifying the saints, watching over the saints. So now you are saying, should they pay first fruit? I'm not sure you have listened. Who asked that question? I'm not
Brother
sure you
have. Jerry from Abuja.
I'm not sure you have had my teaching on first fruit. If you had my teaching on first fruit, then you will have known that first fruit is paid to the servant of God for the purpose of prayer. It's an income into the church. Anyway, in the New Testament, it's an income into the church. It's him acknowledging God with his first fruit. And when he brings it, the minister prays for him. He's connecting his source of income to God by that action. To prosper, protect his source of income for him to prosper. But that money becomes an income into the church. So why do you take, I don't know how the priest, you know, he's in the business of collecting first fruit from people. So which first fruit does he himself have? So now, but if that pastor has his business also, then he now brings it. Now the question is, who will he pay it to? You know, there are fellow priests with you. Remember, the important thing is the prayers that go with it. So you should be able to, except you have rated a pastor so high that nobody else even prays for him in that ministry. You know, somebody gave me that kind of prophecy some years back when the ministry just started. He was a prophet there with us. He said, thus said the Lord, Pastor, the Lord says you should not allow anybody to lay a hand on you. I said, did the Lord tell you why I should not allow anybody to lay a hand on me? He said, because you are higher than people and things like that. I said, so who will not lay a hand on me? Because If I'm sick, he says you should call for the elders to pray for me. So if I'm sick, I should not call. I see that person trying to kill me.
Mm.
Why should you occupy so much a position in the church until you begin to play God that you are high? And these pastors have created that image before the followers, and they see him so high. And that is what has given birth to all the titles they bear. Reverend, Doctor, Bishop, Archbishop, and then all the dresses. Contrary to Matthew 23, the Lord was telling us. So I just extended that answer so that I use that as opportunity to enlighten the true children of God. Now, when you are sick, Pastor, you better identify gifted people in the church to pray for you in the area that you are suffering. Anybody with that gift. But you get, Pastor, but you get intercessors that you hide somewhere praying for you every time. But they should not lay hand on you. Abba! It's all confusion. So nothing like that too. I don't know whether I've landed that answer.
Yeah, I just advise him to get the pastor's teaching on the first fruits. It sounds like someone that has not heard the teaching.
Maybe he has not heard.
Yes. So get the teaching and listen to it. You understand the first fruits offering properly. Can we have more questions? Brother Ombu from Togo. God bless you, sir. You're on air.
My question is about tithe. Tithe. Is it Abraham paid tithe in the time of grace. But Bible in the book of Genesis, chapter 14, verse 20, says Abraham gave tithe. So I think in this dispensation now, do we still have to pay tithe or give tithe? So my question is giving or paying. I think it should be given, not paid, because all our debt has been paid on the cross of Calvary. And before Jesus was crucified, tithe was given, and when it became law, now they paid it. But now that in the other day, I think tithe should be given. You should give your tithe, not pay your tithe. Can give 1/10, 2/10, can give all.
Brother,
in the Acts of Apostles, the believers were giving all, not to pay. So that's my question.
I want to understand your question. The Brother Humble, are you with me?
Yeah.
I think what you are saying, talking, is just semantic. Whether you give or you pay, it has to do with a parting away.
That language, pay or give. I think, is this not the right language for tithe?
That's what I'm trying to explain now. I said it is just about, let me ask, do you believe in giving of tithe?
Yes, I believe in giving, but the pay is my problem.
Okay, why do you give tithe?
Why do I give tithe?
Yes.
I give tithe because it's good to give.
Why to give? It's good to give. It's not that it's an instruction from the Lord.
It's an instruction to give, not under the law. Under the law, it was law when we are paying it. They paid under the law.
So if you like now, if you like now, you give. If you like, you don't give.
You know, paying is like you are owing a debt. It's like you owe.
That's what I'm saying. Your understanding of tithe now is if you like, you give. If you don't like, you don't give. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
That is now, it's now free will, it's not compulsory. That's what you are saying?
Yes, sir.
Now, it is all stemming from your understanding. Now, if I consider it as a commandment, as a requirement of the Lord, because I'm in obedience, I will call it pay. Now, but if it is, I say, I said, if I consider it to be a requirement, a Christian duty for me to do, I will call it pay. But if it is a free will for me, not under any commandment, not under any obligation, then I will call it give. So you are correct, depending on how you take the tithe. That's my answer.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. More questions coming in. Shalom, sir. Please, if someone is a salary earner, is it to remove transport before taking out tithes from what is left? Sister Laurie from Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Whatever you consider to be your profit, whichever way you arrive at your profit, from that profit, pay your tithe. Simple.
Whatever you consider to be
Your profit, whichever way you arrive at your profit, pay your tithe. Now you say salary. Now, before salary is paid to you, a lot of deductions are made. Now, I believe that transport to go to work and come back and things like that depends on how you want to treat it. If you have a fixed amount where you use for your transport every month, it's only normal that you set it aside. Then what else is left? But I can also assure you that there may be a fixed amount for your food that month. And food is very, very important, because if you are not alive, you won't even go to that church. I mean, to that work. And maybe there's a fixed amount for your electricity bill. There's a fixed amount for your water bill. And there may be a fixed amount that you send to your mother in the village. So continue to look at fixed amount. From your salary, you may end up paying no tithe at all. So be sincere with yourself. Once you get your salary, whatever reaches your hand, pay 10% before you carry out any expense. That's my advice for you.
Sir, if you work in a company where, let's say, in a week or 2 weeks, they give you maintenance, like something we call fuel floats, is it right for you to pay your tithe from it?
No, now it's tied to specific something. No.
Okay.
That's not salary.
Okay. Right. Thank you, sir. Mm. Okay, more questions coming in. As a female nurse, you
care.
You care. Sometimes you can sometimes expose your care sometimes expose you to the nakedness of patients, of male patients. Like placing a catheter for a male patient, for instance, do you sin while providing that care?
You will soon ask whether male Christian gynecologists should not attend to women. That's your duty now. You're in the business of saving life. Medical science, there's no indecency there. It's part of the profession. You have not committed any sin. A physician. Okay. The second question.
Are there some particular benefits on the length and the quality of your fasting? Let's say 3 days dry fasting versus 21 days 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. fasting. Thank you, Sister Peace from USA.
Remember, Sister Peace, that you determine yourself what kind of fasting you want to do. And the benefit of the fast is not determined by the length of the fast. The benefit of the fast is the goal for the fast. Whether the goal is achieved. If the goal to achieve will take you 21 days, then you take the 21 days. The goal to achieve may take you 3 days, no food, no water. The goal to achieve in that fast may take you just 3 hours in a day, 4 hours in a day. So it is the goal set as the purpose for the fast that determines the length. And remember, it is a personal decision. you determine how long based on the reason you are doing the fast. And when it comes to congregational fast, group fast, the church fast, is the same thing. What you want to achieve is usually explained what is to be achieved and then why that period, the duration, is given. So it depends on what you want to achieve.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, can we have more questions?
All right. Good evening, sir.
God bless you.
All right. Daddy, I have a question, and the thing is pulling me down somehow. So the question is, a husband that is baptized correctly, can he baptize the wife?
Yes, if the wife is your convert, you are qualified to baptize her. But you should not baptize her by an order. Since I baptized you two, you must baptize. So if you baptize correctly, somebody certainly baptized you. Why are you not taking your wife to that same person to baptize the person, your wife?
Because I baptized in Lagos, through the prayer camp that I went to Lagos and baptized.
And you don't have a pastor you are worshiping under?
No.
Are you a minister of God?
Definitely.
Why? You are qualified to baptize your wife if she believes.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. More questions coming in. Shalom, sir. A prophet that has a ministry in Nigeria went to my family house to pray for my mother. Then after the prayer, he said I saw a charm that was buried in my house. He digged the ground and brought out the charm. Then he said that he saw my picture and that of my younger brother and one of my sisters inside a bottle in a shrine. He called the name of the place where the shrine is. This is the solution he gave. He said I have to buy an e-goat and some other items with 20,000 naira. The money is for his transport to the place where the shrine is, to collect the pictures from the shrine. Then he will take the pictures to his ministry for prayers. Then the e-goat will also be taken to the ministry for prayer. Then after that, they will leave the e-goat to run away. In 3 days, the goat will die. Then the person that did the charm will die. Sir, please, I want to know if this is the right way for deliverance. All this while, I have never heard one word of God from his mouth. He will always say that he is not making mouths by himself, that he will go to that shrine and bring those pictures, and I will see it with my eyes. Then he will tell me the person that did the charm, but I will keep his secrets and watch to see the person die. Sir, please, I am confused. Livinus okay from Libya.
Livinus okay. Christians are not interested in our enemies dying. So that alone nullifies that mode of
deliverance.
Secondly, I want you to note that from what you are narrating, it was not a prophet of God that he came. You actually brought a babalawo. So it's a sacrifice that has already been offered for us. There's someone that has already died for us. A goat, therefore, will not die.
No, he didn't say the goat will die. He said they will pray on the goat and lose the goat. It's like a prophetic action.
He said the goat will die.
Yeah, after 3 days, representing the evil person.
Representing the evil person, then after the person will die.
After 3 days.
No. You want your deliverance. That's all. You want your deliverance. And so, I will advise you that you keep away from such people.
Sir, what of the signs the person did?
Which sign?
He brought out what was buried, brought out this, said this, and...
That's magic. Even if he did it by a spirit, it is not the Holy Ghost. Because what follows, shows it. God can show you things buried around to destroy. But when you begin to see solutions that are unscriptural coming up, then you know that you are, you know where you are. This guy is a babalawo. And that any revelation that tells you bring any live animal, live goat, to exchange for your life is not Christian.
Mm.
Christian religion under grace has no place for that. And that's bring fowl, bring this. Nothing like that. I hope, Bride of Christ, you are hearing me. Once you come across such, you know, run away. Just run away. My life is hidden with Christ in God.
Amen.
No shrine can determine my destiny.
Mm.
You are disturbing me in the name of Jesus. I can stay here and pray, and I'll receive my freedom.
Amen.
Yes, so learn to have faith, and that's what Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing.
Mm.
I pray that God will bring you across a ministry that is a praying ministry, and follow what God tells you to do for your deliverance.
Amen.
If there is such a deliverance to take place.
Amen.
I repeat, God, even minister from this church, travel and seen a lot of things, supernatural things, you know, people do things, bury things and things like that. Once it's exposed, you will see the effect. But don't say now, your name, something, bring transport to go and buy good and, you know, forget it. If you pray and if I just ask you even, give me transport money, 20,000 naira, and I don't know, where are you traveling with transport, 20,000, is it going by air? Maybe he will eat along the way. To go to a shrine, why, how will he go to that shrine? Somebody not in charge of that shrine.
Mm.
Then he will go to that shrine, and then somebody took it there, so somebody must be in charge of that shrine. So how will he be able to go to that shrine to remove something that has been kept there by someone, and somebody's shrine? It just doesn't make sense, you know. And they said, then you now bring a goat. And you will see, funnily, Christians who refuse to read their Bibles, you know, will fall prey to such a gimmick. It is well.
Wow. More questions coming in. Brother Giwa from Nasarawa State, Nigeria, is calling us. God bless you, sir. Your name?
Yeah. Shalom, sir.
God bless you. Shalom, Giwa.
Daddy, good evening, sir.
God bless you.
Shalom, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
What's the meaning of Giwa?
Giwa is my surname.
I said, what's the meaning?
Well, to outside, there is an elephant.
Thank you. So you're an elephant. You are mighty. God bless you. Yes.
Well done, sir. I'm Brad Giwa from Maraba.
We can hear you.
Sir, my first question is in Matthew 4, verse 5.
Yes.
Matthew 4, verse 5.
Yes.
I want to know that holy city, where Satan took Jesus to.
Jerusalem.
I want to know the holy city.
Jerusalem.
Oh, sir. Was it this physical Jerusalem or greater Jerusalem?
Physical Jerusalem, where the temple was. Because it said, that scripture says, on a pinnacle of the temple, the top of that temple.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. My second question. Daddy, I have a new convert.
Yes.
And then they are married. She's married. But based on a woman complaint, she came for counseling and she told me that the husband actually married her on deceit. Can you hear me, sir?
I can hear you. What is it that constituted the deceit?
Yes, that the husband told her that once he's a graduate, but that he never go to any school. Secondly, the husband told her that he's a businessman.
Yes.
And he runs this estate management.
Yes.
Along the line, he discovered that it was not true that the husband is actually doing this internet 419.
Yes.
And now, when the lady discovered the truth about the marriage, she was fed up with the matter. Said she don't want that kind of man to be her husband. She came for counseling, but I told her that there is no put away. That she's supposed to have found out before they marry. But according to the lady, she also told me that she told her in the initial say that no, that they are not, she's not ready to settle down with him. But along the line, she didn't know what happened, that she was not the one planning for the marriage. So when she planned for the marriage, a month after that marriage, she now discovered how did it happen. Mm. I actually told this man that I'm not going to marry him. It was then she now started finding out that the man is internet 419. The man never went to school because the parents of the lady, they were ready to assist him to get a job, but no results. So, Daddy, I want to hear your own opinion about this issue.
Well, if I were you, when two people have problem, you don't listen to only one person and make conclusion. Mm. If I were you, I will invite the husband and let the woman repeat what she's saying before the husband.
Okay.
And counsel him to stop that business. Matters shall arise from there. So listen to them first before you make conclusions. And pray that God will give you wisdom to handle it, because there's a way I will answer now, it will become doctrine. Every case, especially when it comes to marriage, is peculiar in itself. So we cannot therefore answer that as a doctrine on air, question and answer like this. So listen to the two of them, because sometimes also, Koniman die, Koriman bury him. Yeah, that is the truth. So she was not marrying him because she loved him, but because he is what he says he is. So she was marrying him because he is a big businessman, he is a graduate, he is this. Yeah. And your qualification and the job you do has no bearing with love when it comes to marriage. So if that is the reason why you married him, then even the reason was wrong, ab initio. So that's why I say they need counselor. You need a lot of wisdom to talk to them. So if she were to come to me, I will handle it that way. And I will let her know that for her to say she didn't know what happened until she entered, I can see a woman that is by all means wants to go out and say she was tricked into doing it. I will ask her if she's a Christian. I will ask her if she prayed about it before going to the relationship. And a lot of questions to be asked, Brother Giwa, please. And may God give you wisdom to handle this case in particular. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
At this junction, we'll take a short break. And when we come back, we'll continue to ask the pastor. We'll be right back.